Our very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
Good morning, and welcome to Marriage Beyond the Vows. I am your host, Marcos Mercado. We just want to welcome you today. I know you could have been anywhere else on your dial, but you decided to join us. And this morning, we are talking about Beyond the False Hope. And you might be wondering, what in the world is that? So I do want to start with a word of prayer. We're going to get right into our topic. Let's pray. Heavenly Father and God, we are so grateful for your love, your mercy, and your direction, God. I do pray that you help us to be able to heal many relationships, God, those that are hurting, those that are losing hope, or those who've already lost hope, God. I do pray for miracles, and I pray for your Holy Spirit to move in a powerful way through the airwaves. We love you, God, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, as always, we hope and pray that today's program will enrich, empower, and encourage you towards having a great relationship. And we have a theme scripture, and I want our special guest here with us this morning. Tiffany Bacon is not here with us, so I got my good friend Antoine Lee from New York City joining us here, and he's going to help us with the show today and take some calls, and we have some great discussion here. But Antoine, what is our theme scripture of our day?
Well, thank you for having me on, Marcos. It's definitely an honor to be here. And our theme scripture is 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter 3:15, which reads, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have."
Okay. And so we want to hear from you. Have you lost hope? Have you struggled in your relationship, or do you believe the hope is gone and your relationship has ended? We want to hear from you. We want to be able to encourage and inspire you with God's word. Give us a call at 855-454-5905. 855-454-5905. And, you know, the reason I wanted to share this, tell a little bit more about this, but there's a story that I read about a plane crash happened a few years ago. And during the plane crash, it actually crashed in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the ocean. And many did survive the crash, and they got into those inflatable rafts. And, you know, days later, they were able to be rescued, but not everyone survived. And so afterwards, you know, experts wanted to go back, and they were intrigued by why did some people survive the crash and why did others not, when they were all safe after the crash, after the initial impact. And what they realized might shock you: the people who were the most optimistic died first. You might say, "What? How in the world?" You know, the optimism, you know, wouldn't that encourage and help them to go on? Well, no, because those are the people that crashed or land and, you know, survive. And they felt like, we're going to be rescued right away. I mean, I know someone's coming before the night is through. Someone's going to rescue us. And no one came. The next day, no one came. The third day, no one came. And the fourth day, the rescuers were finally able to show up. And so the ones that were optimistic lost hope, because when no one came those first few days, they felt like, okay, no one's coming. But the ones that were hopeful were the ones that said, you know what, we're praying and we believe we will be rescued, but what if we're not rescued right away? So they hoped for the best, but prepared for the worst. And I just want to make that connection with marriage, because I think a lot of times we go through hardship in our marriages, hardships in our relationships, and we think, oh, it's going to be fixed. It's a quick fix. I know we're just going to pray about it and God's going to fix it. And sometimes it doesn't change. Or I'm just going to go to church and I'm going to do the right thing, and I'm going to talk to my minister and my preacher. He's gonna get with us, and we'll have pastoral counseling, and it's going to get fixed. And it doesn't. And then we lose hope. And so the Bible talks about that we always got to make sure we have this hope, but not in us or not in a situation, but in Christ. And so, Anton, what do you think? Because I know you've, throughout the years, we've known each other for a very long time. You and your wife are dear friends of Amaryllis and myself, and we love you guys to death. And we've had times where we've counseled you guys in your marriage, times where you guys have helped us. Right. But I also know you've helped, I think, if not hundreds, maybe even thousands of people in their relationship. And you have a lot of knowledge and wisdom and training in terms of counseling couples. So what do you think? Like, what is the main reason you would say that couples lose hope in their marriage?
From what I've seen, losing hope in a marriage usually comes from the expectations. The expectations are that it's something that's going to be quickly healed or quickly solved. And when those expectations aren't met, people get they get disappointed, almost like the analogy that you gave with the rescue ships. One thing I've seen, and I've read this recently, but the one thing I've seen constantly is that if you're in a chronically rough situation or in chronic pain, the only way out of it is to have acute pain for a while before things get better. And a lot of times, it's like when Jesus cast out the demon from the boy when the disciples couldn't. It seemed like he got worse. He said, remember, he started rolling around on the floor and screaming. And then everybody said, he's dead, he's dead. But that's when he actually got healed. And a lot of times in marriages like that, they look worse. A lot of the stuff has to come out. A lot of issues have to be unpacked. And in the process, people get so discouraged that that's where they may back off.
And keep that thought. We're going to go to our first caller, who's Tammy, calling in from Charlotte, North Carolina. Good morning, Tammy. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning.
Good morning. So you were telling our producer that you believe your marriage is over.
Yes.
So what's going on? Please share with us.
Well, it's a 14-year relationship. We've been married three. We've been separated more than we've been together since we've been married.
Wow.
And it's kind of valid. So.
Wow. So you're separated right now. Have you filed for divorce, or has your husband filed for divorce?
We have not filed for a divorce. We do have a legal separation, but we've gotten back together three times since we filed for that, and each time it ends in the same way.
Now, Tammy, and I want to get more into that, and actually have a scripture I want to share with you. We're going to take a brief break in just a moment, Tammy, so I don't want you to go anywhere. We just have to break for commercial real quick, but if you can just hold on, and I want to share with you some things that actually might change your mind about the fact that your marriage actually might not be over. And so, again, we're going to have more conversation. Please don't go anywhere. And Tammy, stay on the line. Everyone else, don't you dare touch that dial. We're going to come right back to Tammy and help her out here if her marriage is over or not. We'll be right back.
The Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise, your inspiration station. And I am your host, Marcos Mercado. And with me is Antoine Lee, a good friend and a great, great brother who's helped my wife and I through many challenges as well. And advised us. We've advised them. We're great partners in the gospel. He's visiting here from the Big Apple, New York City, and we want to thank all of you who are listening here in Philadelphia and Charlotte or throughout the world online. So we want to go back to our caller. We were speaking with Tammy, calling in from Charlotte, North Carolina, right before the break. And Tammy, are you with us?
I am.
Thank you so much for your patience and holding on here. I had a scripture for you, because I know you've mentioned that you've been married 14 years, but you've had more time apart than together, and you just feel like your marriage is over. And you're not alone. We're actually getting more calls as we speak, and many are in your same shoes. They feel the same way. They're losing hope, or they've lost hope. There's a scripture. I don't know, Tammy, if you have your Bible here with you or not. I'm going to share this with you. Proverbs 13, verse 12. And it reads, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And you might ask yourself, well, what does that mean? You know, deferred means to put aside or you know, right, to wait on, right? And so if you don't get what you want, kind of like imagine a little kid waiting for his Christmas gift and doesn't get it. How discouraged he would feel. You know, sometimes we want God to work, especially in our relationships. And when we don't see that happen, we can lose hope. And in your situation, perhaps every time that things didn't work out and you were hoping they did, you lost more and more hope. And you might get to the point now where you're like, what's the use? If we get back together again, it's going to end again and again and again. And it says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. But let me ask you a question. Do you know the difference between having hope or having or being optimistic?
I do.
You do. Okay. And I'm sure in some time in those 14 years, you were optimistic that things will change. So what is the hope that you believe God wants you to have in terms of your relationship?
Well, at this point, I'm not sure because I kept trying and trying because I felt like that's what I was supposed to do. That's what God would want me to do, wait, pray, and, you know, try to work it out. But the violence is what I can't take, the fighting.
Okay. Now, is your fighting physical or verbal?
Physical, very physical. Wow. And the last time my granddaughter was there, she's 18 months, and I had to call it off because I don't want her growing up around that.
Wow. Absolutely. Well, first of all, you want to make sure you're safe. But let me ask you this. Have you and your husband been to counseling?
No, he refuses to go to counseling. He doesn't need that. Mm. And I keep telling him he needs an anger management class or something, but he refuses.
He needs more than that, but he definitely, that would be a start, right? I think, you know, with any problem, you can't help someone if they're not willing to get the help.
Exactly.
You know? And so you're right. And I think this is what you need to do. You just need to pray. If your husband, because you said you've been together and then been apart, been together, does he want to get back together?
He does want, yeah, but he like waits, and then he wants to get back together, and everything's gonna change, and it's not. I'm not gonna put my hands on you, and then it turns around to be the same thing. I mean, it's like we can't stay in the house no more than 2 months.
And here's the problem, Tammy. And I'm just gonna be quick on this because I know we have some other callers waiting. You can't do the same thing over and over again and expect change.
Exactly.
Your husband, if he wants to get help or if he wants to get back together, he needs to get help first.
Exactly.
And so you can stand your ground and you can say, listen, honey, I believe God wants us to work this out. But if you're not willing to get help, then we can't. This is not going to work.
Exactly what I said.
But you got to mean it. I just want you to know.
Oh,
that
I mean
because a lot. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad because let me tell you, you don't know how many times we get, especially women who call in and say, I'm not going to compromise, and I'm going to put my foot down. And then before you know it, the husband moves back in, and they didn't follow through. And so whatever you do, because if not, you'll be enabling him to do this over and over again. You got to say, listen.
Exactly.
So I hope and pray that that's what it would take for your husband. When he sees you're serious about this, that if not, you're not getting back together.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, even if it's not for the right reason initially, but that he would go and get some help because he obviously needs it. And you know what, Tammy, I think you do as well.
Yes.
And I encourage the both of you to go get help together. All right, Tammy, we want to say thank you so much for calling in and for sharing your life and your story with
us. Have a great day, and I love your show.
Thank you so much,
God bless you.
Have a great day.
God bless you, too. You know, Anton, what Tammy shared, it's not unusual.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we know. Now, for everyone else you're listening, I know we want to hear from you. If you feel like you've lost hope in your relationship, I encourage you, if you try to call us and you don't get through right away, just go ahead and try back again. The number to reach us is 855-454-5905. I'll say it one more time, 855-454-5905. And Antoine Lee is here in studio with us as a very special guest, and I'm grateful, bro, that you're here.
Thank you.
In the gospel
is,
and helping
definitely
me out.
An honor.
And I know you have some, I can tell you this much, you have lots and lots of wisdom. And you've been through many things. Your own relationship, you have a blended marriage, right?
Yes,
Your wife had a young child when you guys got married. And then you have so that was your daughter, Tennille.
Right.
Then you have a son that you have together as well. And now they're all grown. I mean, you have adult children.
28
and 21. And you've been married how many years?
23.
23
going to be 23. I'm going to get in trouble. Going to be 23 this December.
Okay, so you know you remember your anniversary. That's wise. But, you know, in all your tenure, in all the years, in your own relationship, the help that you have received and the help that you've given, what do you think? I mean, we were talking about earlier how people lose hope, and we were just talking to Tammy, who just feels like, you know what, I've told my husband he needs to get help. He's gotten physical. He needs anger management. But she's taken him back before. This time she's saying, I'm not going to take him back until he does this. But, you know, what do you believe the problem is in their relationship right now?
The thing that I've seen happen, whenever there's a chronic problem going on, I usually have seen where one person has not set a clear boundary. And so they situations get perpetuated, and because they haven't made a decision to separate, when I say separate, I don't mean just physically separate. I mean set a clear boundary about what they will and will not tolerate, especially when it comes to things that are physical or even verbally abusive. So what will happen is they won't set that boundary. I've seen the most change, and this is even with teenagers and adult children. I've seen the most change happen when Pam, my wife, or couples that we've counseled where one spouse will set a clear standard or boundary about what they will, who they are, what they will or will not tolerate, so that it helps the other person to deal with the issues as well as deal with your own. So it's almost the term I've heard is which kind of comes to mind is you separate so you don't have to separate. You set a clear guideline about what you will tolerate, what you won't tolerate, so that you're not getting caught up in the this cycle of waiting and waiting and waiting for change.
And that's interesting. And I think we'll have more discussion on that in just a moment. You know, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows, and we're talking about beyond the false hope, how sometimes we don't have real hope when it comes to our marriage or relationships. Some of you might be feeling like the marriage, the relationship is over, but we want to hear from you. And also, you do know, and our next few callers are calling in anonymously, do you know that you don't have to give your name when you call? If you do, that's fine. If you don't, just go ahead and give us a call. Our number is 855-454-5905, and we're going to go to line two, where we have an anonymous caller calling in from Jersey, New Jersey. Good morning. You're live on the air with Praise.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I just have a quick question because I've only been married a year, and we actually separated on our anniversary of our first year of marriage. Oh. He was very verbally and emotionally abusive, and every time I came to him to talk to him about how I was feeling and how certain things, you know, he said would make me feel, it was like, well, you shouldn't feel that way, and you should be, you know, stronger, and, you know, you're weak, and, you know, it was just not a good environment for me or for my children. So now that I've chosen to leave because it's just too much, just emotionally on me, everything is my fault. Mm. So now we're separated. I do believe in God, and I know the power of God, but I have, you know, my family telling me, like, it's just not, you know, that is who he is, and you just need to let him be him, you know, and just let it go. But then the other part of me is feeling like, am I giving up on our marriage or giving up on, you know, the covenant I made before God? But then I feel like God doesn't want me to be in a situation where I'm just being constantly torn down and told I'm stupid and I'm ugly and, you know, everything is my fault. And I think that's where I'm struggling now, because even now we're separated, he's already moved on. And, you know, it's like now that's something else that I have to, you know, deal with now. So I guess at this point, I just don't know if this is something that I'm supposed to keep going to God for, because I'm standing my ground as far as I'm not, you know, you're not going to talk to me any kind of way. You're not going to treat me any kind of way. And I'm definitely standing my ground. But it's just like, does that mean that I'm giving up, you know, on our marriage? Or is this, you know, a reason that I should not?
Okay. Well, I know you have a lot to share there, and it's obvious that you are going through some emotional pain. And that's understandable. I mean, being the fact, especially because your relationship is so young, so new, and you haven't even made it. You just made it to that year, but, you know, barely, right?
Yeah.
Now, when you said, I had a question about when you said he's moved on. Is he with someone else now?
Yeah.
Okay. And are you and your husband speaking?
It's just everything is my fault. He's real nasty. So honestly, every time we talk, it's just, you know, like, just real short, just like he's angry. That's the only way that I can describe it. He's angry because I really don't think he thought that I was going to leave, you know, and it's just by the grace of God that I've been able to pay my bills and, you know, take care of my two children. But
yes,
it's just, he's just extreme. Like, it's just this whole side that I've seen now, as far as him being angry, he would take it out on me. And now it's like, I'm angry and now I'm going to, you know, basically his to me, it's like his character is being revealed.
And it's more than his character. I mean, this is his personality. It's his heart. I think a couple of things here for you. Number one, I think it's very courageous. To put your foot down, especially when it has to do with abuse.
Yes.
You already have children that you brought into the marriage, and they are a priority. Their safety, and it's not just their physical safety, it's their emotional stability, because that can destroy, especially younger children. I mean, they are exposed to that, and it would affect them for the rest of their lives. So I think that what you've done is great. However, you shouldn't be alone with this. And it reminds me, a few weeks ago, I posted this on our Facebook page. I asked couples if they believe in marriage discipling. And some people were like, well, what is that? I don't know if you know what marriage discipling is. But really what it is sometimes people think, well, if we're really in trouble, we should go to counseling. And I'm a huge advocate of, you know, couples do need counseling. But I don't think every couple does. And I don't think... Yeah. Couples need counseling every time. Like every time you have an argument with your husband, you got to go to a counselor. If number one, it's not sustainable for most people. It's expensive. But number two, it's I don't even think it's healthy to be so dependent on a counselor. So what marriage discipling is, and it's based out of Matthew 28, about teaching others to obey, and meaning that we all need people in our lives that would help us to see our blind spots. You know, Antoine Lee happens to be one of my close friends and a great discipler for many years, where my wife and I have helped them and they've helped us. And sometimes they were not able to totally relate to our situation, but because they were outsiders looking in, they were able to help us. But one of the things we had to agree is, number one, we're going to be honest with each other. Number two, we're going to be committed to that relationship. Now, maybe you've had this, but it doesn't sound like you and your husband, if there's any hope of you even coming back together, I don't know what he's going to decide, and that's his decision. But let's just say he comes to his senses and he says, you know, honey, I blew it. I want to get back together. And you say, okay. And you forgive him. Sometimes people think, okay, amen. That's great. That's encouraging. But those issues are not just going to go away.
Yeah.
Right.
And so in that case, you would say, listen, we need to find another husband and wife. Maybe someone that even had similar issues, someone that struggled with a lot of pride and arrogance and emotional abuse, and saying, listen, someone who's overcome and been able to overcome these things, because they'll see it and he'll have to make a decision that he's going to trust what that other brother tells him. And so, for example, if Antoine is being difficult, and I never forget this, we laugh about it now. We didn't laugh about it then. His wife, Pam, and Antoine, they were having a disagreement about finances.
Finances, yes.
And, you know, which is common. But he just didn't want to see it that way because he was hurt. Mm-hmm. And I remember that he couldn't hear his wife. And sometimes you can't hear the person that you're hurt by.
Mm-hmm.
But I pulled myself and I said, Antoine, you really got to listen. Your wife is hurt. And he came to his senses.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you know what? Why am I trying to win this argument when I've lost the battle? Like, my wife is here crying. Yeah. She's hurt. And it was really stupid. I think it was, believe it or not, it was like over like $10 or $20, like on a credit card.
It was a bigger picture than that.
But, you know, it's usually that, right? It's usually something really small, but there's a bigger reason.
Right.
But once he humbled down, he said, you know what, honey, you're right. I'm sorry. I didn't consider this. I whatever. He was just very humble about it. Mm-hmm. But she never would have helped him to get there. It had to be someone else from the outside saying, Antoine, you just gotta shut up. You're losing your head. You're being stupid right now.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like that's what your husband needs, but it also sounds like that's what you need.
Yeah.
And so I don't know your situation, or even if your husband is gonna decide to change, and we'll be praying about that. But in the case he does, that's what you need. You need some other objective eyes.
Yeah, to be connected. The everything that Marcos is sharing, it can be summed up. If you're a believer in the scriptures and you know the Bible well, you talk about the body of Christ. The whole idea is relationship. Most married couples, especially here in the West, in the U.S., from what I know in New York City, they're isolated. They're trying to do the right thing. They're trying to, even if they're in a church, but they're not really connected. They don't have the friendship. So, when the issues that are going to come up with any relationship, they try and hammer them out on their own, and there's no one to help with blind spots. There's no one to relate. So, and I agree with Marcos wholeheartedly that especially now, you you need connection.
Yeah.
So that I noticed you were saying how your family's saying one thing and then the like. So just be
connected. I mean, because with my family, it's a bunch of women and we're very independent, very strong, mm-hmm. you know. And he's even used that against me where you're just going to end up like you're, you know, the rest of the women in your family. And, you know, like basically he wants to be the man. I want him to be the man, but I also need you to respect me and respect how I feel. And I see so many women that, you know, for the sake of just wanting to be with a man or be in a relationship, that they just accept any and everything. And I'm not asking for perfection, but the same respect and, you know, courtesy that I extend to you, I think it needs to work, you know, both ways. Like it's a partnership. So you can't dismiss my feelings because you don't understand them.
Absolutely.
You know, like that's, but just now that you've decided to date,
that's a game changer.
Still legally married. I think that's honestly what's just throwing me off even.
Oh, yeah. And that's fair, right? There are some things that, you know, you can probably deal with and say we can work through this. But when you move on from the relationship, it's not impossible, but it's going to be really hard. He's going to have to really come back and he's going to have to be humble. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, he, you know, I don't think it's hopeless, but he has to come to his senses.
Yeah.
But I want to say thank you so much for calling us. I hope and pray that things do work out.
No, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
All right.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
All right. We're going to go to our next caller, Mike on line 3, who's calling in from Charlotte, North Carolina. Good morning, Mike. You're live on the air with Praise.
Yes. I just wanted to share a comment.
Okay.
I am a former pastor. I'm calling from Charlotte, North Carolina, PhD-level educator with a master's in counseling. And currently I do a lot of counseling with in relationships. And I just wanted to say that, one, a lot of times these situations transpire because, one, they've not sought the Lord first, and they were unequally yoked when they got married.
Okay.
And then secondly, in my situations, I see that there are a lot of women that are crying foul. They are as much the problem as the solution, but yet 90% of your callers seem to be women. They need to understand how to put themselves in the man's frame of reference so they can understand how to treat their mate. So in a lot of instances, it won't be abuse. We don't want to see abuse at any level, but women abuse men just as much, if not more, than men abuse women.
A couple of things, Mike.
On both the men, male end, and the female end.
Mike, I have a couple of questions. Number one, I think it's a great suggestion, but I don't know how women can put themselves in the men's shoes because they can't. They're not men. Okay. But I think the other thing is, let me ask you a personal question, Mike, if you don't mind.
Do unto others as you would have them.
Oh, yeah, and that's right. That's biblical, right? But let me ask you this. Mike, you have some, it sounds like you have some experience there, but what about your personal life? Are you married?
No, I'm not married. And
and then let me ask you the next question. Why not?
Because I'm not dealing with the level of trifling women that I've had to deal with since I've been in the Charlotte area.
All right. You know what I think, Mike, and you want me to be honest? Because you called me, right?
Yeah.
I think you have an issue because let me finish. I think you have an issue with women because in your voice, the way you make it sound, it's like, let me be honest with you. There are women out there who are trifling, but I don't think a lot of them are. And I do think that the responsibility, though, and listen to me, Mike, women are at fault, yes, but the Bible calls the men to be head of the women, meaning that we got to be the spiritual
one. You cannot be the head of a woman that won't allow you to be a head. And there's a whole lot of them that won't allow them to be a head.
Well, you know what? You're right. But what about the women that want to be led? What about them?
Mm-hmm.
There are many. I mean, we get a lot of callers. Honestly,
you're right. You're right with that, Ian. But a lot of your callers, man, are people that are crying. I'm just telling you what's in my spirit.
Okay.
That are foul wolf. I actually work with a female, and she has said the same thing.
Okay.
That a lot of the sisters that we deal with, they're crying foul because they want something for nothing. They think the relationship is all supposed to be in relationship to the women, the benefit of the women. That's not the case.
But, brother, you just sound bitter. I mean, maybe
I am because I deal with this on a regular basis, and it's time for women to stand up and be responsible for their actions in the wedding. Not one of them have called in to say that they have done anything. It's always the man. So I've listened to this on a regular basis.
Okay.
And my counterpart, who's a female, said the same thing.
Okay.
It's always the man. It's never them. They don't come across and say, well, I did this to cause him to do that.
But that's not always true. You know what it is, Mike? That's why I think the men need to stand up and call. Because
I'm just saying this because it's really, it ticked me off.
It is. And you know what? I think
I deal with this on a regular basis, and my female counterpart was pissed with it.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, we're talking about a woman now. I'm not a woman. But you know,
we know that, Mike. We know that. And you're angry at women.
I've never heard a woman call into your show and say, I was the cause of him doing this.
No, there has been. There has been. I think there
have been.
There have
been. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. It's not always him.
No, you're right, Mike. And Mike, you know what? We do have other callers. We got to go ahead and move on.
Yeah, but I can give you my name and number. You can call me back and we can talk about this. Because
you know what? If you want, you can stay on the line. You can give that information to my producer, Larry, and we'll stay connected, Mike. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for calling. And, you know, I do pray you deal with that bitterness in your heart because it's obviously there. All right, our next caller here, calling on line five from the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, Darlene. Good morning. You're live on the air with Praise.
Hello. I'm just calling in. And I don't mean to harp on my brother, but he is bitter.
Oh, absolutely.
You can hear it in his voice when he first came on.
From his first couple of words, I knew he's bitter.
Yes, yes. But I just want to say, you know, that my situation is that I got married very young.
Mm-hmm.
I got married at 18. And in the beginning of the marriage, it was just, you know, it was just me and my husband. And, you know, whatever he needed, I was there, and we were in the world. We were in the world,
right.
And you know, I did what I was supposed to do as his girlfriend, as his wife, whatever mm-hmm. the case may be. But as the years have gone on, my husband has always been the type of man you do what I say.
Mm-hmm.
And as we have gotten older, like I say, in the beginning, it was cute. It was fine. Yes, do what he say. But now that we are 31 years in our relationship,
wow,
it seems that do what I say. If I don't do what he says, or if the kids doesn't do what he says, he shuts us completely out.
Mm. And Darlene, can you give me an example? Because I think that's very important to understand. So, in what situation would your husband feel like you need to obey his command and do what he wants?
In anything, when it comes to it could be anything. If I'm not doing exactly what he wants me to do, it's got to be his way. And a prime example, if I come in the house and we both work and we both work two jobs.
Okay.
So if I come home and you're here and haven't started dinner,
mm-hmm.
then I say to you, well, why haven't you started dinner? You can cook just better. You cook better than I can.
Okay.
And then it becomes, well, that's something that you're supposed to do. But I feel like that we're not in that age now where, because I work, you work, you get home before me, just because you're here, you shouldn't start dinner. Even if you don't finish, at least you could start. It's just so many examples that I could give you regarding this. But the reason why I'm really calling is because I have tried and tried. And I know, and the gentleman before me, he has some points where we as women, we do things. And we still think it's, you know, I didn't do anything wrong.
I
took responsibility of the things that I did wrong that I felt like he said, okay, you were wrong. I stood up as a woman. I said, okay, babe, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. But then he doesn't forgive me. He still holds on to that grudge, and we can't move on because now we are in two separate rooms.
Okay.
And we have children, and we're in the church. He's doing his deacon duties in the church. And now I can't go to church and get what I need from God, that church.
I can understand.
I need from God.
And you know what, Darlene? I think that you're saying a lot. There's obviously a lot. Now, you're ready for this? Because I have a response for you, and I even have a scripture.
Yes, I'm ready. I'm open for criticism. If it's something that I'm doing wrong, I want to fix it because I love my husband. I love God. And when I got married, even though we got married when we were in the world, but once we came into Christ, I love my husband.
Okay.
I want to be with my husband in every sense of the word being married.
Okay, so then you're going to have to just patiently listen to these things, okay, and let them penetrate your heart, okay, because you are also bitter. We talked about a previous caller, but you're bitter.
Yes, I am. I accept that. Yes,
okay.
I am
but
bitter.
But listen, I'm not done, okay? And that's the other thing. You're going to have to learn to listen, because if you are speaking, you won't be able to hear. And if your husband, I'm not disagreeing with you. I think you might be 100% right. You're representing your side of the story. But I'm sure that, you know, the Bible says the first to present their case seems right until the other comes along, meaning that there's two sides. I'm not saying that you're at fault and your husband's right. I'm not saying that. But you're both wrong. And when a marriage, especially after 31 years, is in the condition that it's in, where you're sleeping in separate bedrooms, you're both at fault. And the reason I tell you that is because how can it go on for that long and not get help? I can understand if you were a young couple and you were to say, you know, we're having a hard time, he won't listen. But after 31 years, you've had ample opportunities to get help. And sometimes you can get that help in the church. Other times people don't feel safe in that church environment because they feel like they'll be punished, they'll be treated differently. Mm-hmm. People knew what was really going on inside the house, which blows my mind, because from where I sit, I see how many people have issues in their marriages. Preachers, mm-hmm. deacons, you know, you name it. Everyone has issues. I have issues in my marriage. And that
right.
We all need help.
Right.
We all need other people to let them in. And here's the problem. It sounds like you and your husband have gone through many years of trying to fix it yourself. 31 years. And look where it's gotten you. It's not the type of thing that you can figure it out on your own. We all need other people. And that's where I even mentioned earlier to our previous caller, if they knew what discipling was and for the marriage, because too many people try to figure things out in isolation. Now, I'm not saying you come and you tell the whole church and you say, but there should be key people in your life that should
right.
know this. And let me tell you, there's some things that your husband might never listen if it's coming from you. But if it comes from a man that he respects, he may listen.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like he has some issues, and I'm sure you do too. And so I could only imagine if I just had a small window into your life, into your, and you know, the way you are, discussing things with your husband or arguing with your husband. And this is the temptation, I could tell you, because it happens in my house. When one gets hurt, it's very easy to revert to our ways
mm-hmm.
that might work for the moment. And let me share a scripture with you. I mentioned to you in Titus Chapter 2, it says in verse 3, it says, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one may malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In teaching, show integrity, soundness, seriousness and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's really unfortunate? It because the world doesn't see a difference often with Christian marriages, they're not attracted to Christianity. And I think, Darlene, you and your husband, I don't know if in those 31 years you've allowed other people in, but it sounds like you're at that place now where you need to get counseling.
Well, we have been.
Okay. Are you getting counseling right now, presently?
No, he won't. He at this point he is not willing to do any of that now, because and maybe, you know, the listening part for me, because he said that it's like, now you're going to do what you want to do anyway. That's what he always says to me.
Okay.
But we have been to counseling a couple of times. We have even sat down with the current pastor that we have now. And we have sat down and talked to them and everything. And like I said, I'm willing to do whatever it needs to do to save my marriage.
Okay.
I'm willing to do that. But at this point, I guess because so much.
I got you. And you know what, Darlene? Hold on one second. We got to take a brief break. I'm going to share with you and with everyone else that's listening the three stages of every marriage, and we'll talk about the stage you're at right now when we come back. Okay, so please don't go anywhere. Hold on. Everyone else, don't you dare touch that dial. We'll be right back after this break.